Appeals is now reconvened. The Honorable Daniel R. Foley, Alexa D. N. Fujise, and Lawrence M. Riker presiding. Please be seated. Calling case number CAAP-11-775, Lyndon A. Vanez versus State of Hawaii Department of Education. Wayne H. Makaita for appellant, Steve K. Miyasaka for appellee. Argument on the merits.
Good to see you again, counsel. Mr. Makaita.
Brief on behalf of the Department of Health, but the employer in this case is the Department of Education. Will we be allowed to make an argument today?
Yes.
In that case, I'll reserve 5 minutes for a reply. Thank you. This case centers around HRS 36-3 with respect to a disease proximately caused by or resulting from the nature of employment. Mr. Van Ness was employed by the DOE as a technology consultant at Minot Business School. He had to hike up and down the Gold campus there, go up and down about 150 stairs carrying computer equipment. And there was a lot of evidence about how unique his particular job was and how he would be breathing outdoor air most of the day. Now, you might recall that back in November 2005, we had a stationary weather front here on Oahu, and that resulted in about 40 days of rain. And the effect on Maui, however, was that all the fog coming up from the south sort of was dammed up by that front and accumulated, and thus air over Maui was terrible. And this fog problem was noted by Lahaina Luna, a vice principal, who described the problem as, quote, unusually severe fog in the days, end quote. Mr. Van Ness had a pre-existing problem with asthma. His asthma was exacerbated. His inhalers no longer worked, and it was hard for him to move around. His heart would be pounding, and he would be perspiring.
So does state law recognize recovery for exacerbation of a disease?
I believe it should. I think that's fairly clear under Hawaii law, at least with respect to a physical injury, that any exacerbation, no matter how slight, should be covered by work comp law. I believe the case most closely on point to our situation is the Lawhead versus United Airlines case. Mr. Lawhead was a flight attendant who flew the Honolulu-Chicago route. And while on board, Ms. Lawhead worked in an extremely cold airplane galley. And while staying in Chicago, she stayed with the crew in a hotel which had very dry air due to defective air conditioning. She woke up in the hotel with a dry and sore throat and was diagnosed with influenza. Our Supreme Court held that that influenza fell within the statute. And the Supreme Court rejected the employer's argument that she did not face any increased risk of catching influenza during work.
That case quite different than this one? That those conditions were unique to her workplace, where here the cause of the exacerbation was the entire island.
I believe that's the approach that the Labor Appeals Board took, that to the general population. And yes, everybody has to breathe, so everybody faces the same risk. But I don't think that's the appropriate approach. If you take our state's unitary test of compensability together with the case law, I think you take the disease and work backwards to try and figure out whether there's found that there was an exacerbation due to fog. Mr. Van Ness's physician at Scripps Institute also held that, as well as his local physician. So we have three physicians saying that his condition was exacerbated by the fog. I would also note that Mr. Van Ness's work was very unique. Certainly, not all technology coordinators, nor Department of Education employees have to hike up and down a mountain carrying equipment. Not all of them had to exercise so strenuously and breathe deeply. Other people in Maui might have had the choice to stay indoors, as was recommended by the state of Hawaii. Others may have been working in the air-conditioned offices where they would not have been exposed to that.
Didn't I read that he resorted to utilizing his own private vehicle to get around the campus?
Exactly. His problem, he could not stand the exertion anymore, so instead of walking up and down the hills, he drove his own car, which, incidentally, also had a HEPA filter, as well as the fact that Mr. Van Ness installed HEPA filters at home, so his only exposure was at work. And in fact, the Labor Appeals noted that fact when it described Mr. Van Ness's life as being rather hermetic. And in fact, used it against him because they compared that against everybody else in Maui. In the Lawhead case, certainly the other flight attendants also had to breathe the same dry air during the flight and overnight at the hotel. So they all faced the same risk. There was no increased risk. However, Ms. Lawhead's case was found compensable.
Certainly this is different than Vaughn. I mean, I don't see this case as helpful to you.
Well, the argument advanced by the state is that there has to be some increased risk. But if you look at the population of all the passengers on the plane, of all the flight attendants, they all face the same risk. But yet, Ms. Lyon coming down with influenza was held compensable because it was connected to her work duties. And we have the same situation here. We have an exacerbation of asthma, and that exacerbation was caused by the exposure, the unique exposure at work, the unique work duties which required a lot of physical exertion and for him to be breathing outdoor air. To some extent, the state's argument.
I mean, in the Lawhead case, the employer had some control, you know, over the workspace, and this was a condition unique to the place of employment. That's not the case with fog.
The employer did not have control over the effective air conditioning.
The had no control over the gallery?
No.
Had no control over where they were put at a hotel?
I'm not sure where employer's control would fit into our statutory test of compensability. I don't believe
I mean, we're talking about the workplace. Let me ask you this. If Mr. Van Ness was to prevail before us, what does that do to other employees and employers when we have Vogue?
I think we still apply the same test.
So anybody working outside that has some exacerbation when there's Vogue would have a claim?
If it's connected, I believe a few examples.
Well, anybody working outside when there's Vogue at the workplace under your argument would have a claim. If there's an exacerbation.
The facts would have to be examined. I don't know if fog itself can cause asthma.
Well, we're talking about an exacerbation,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, but the example which was cited in one of the Lehman cases was, a seamstress came down with TB. Her TB claim would not be compensable because it's not in any way connected with her job as a seamstress. However, if a nurse came down with TB and her job provided some exposure to that disease, then there would be that connection and it should be compensable.
But that's, again, I don't see that case helping you. The TV's within the hospital. The VOG is everywhere.
The VOG, particularly, though, required Mr. Van Ness to face that exposure because it required Mr. Van Ness to be outdoors and breathing out for air.
Everybody on the island is facing that exposure.
You know, some people, I respectfully disagree, some people have the option of sitting at their desks. They could be sitting indoors. They could be in a movie theater breathing air-conditioned air. The state's test, I would advance, would make it very difficult, for example, for a field worker working under hot sun to ever recover from heat stroke because everybody stands under the same hot sun. And in fact, if you go way back to the New York case, which I cited, we have workers something cold during the winter, and only one of them comes down with frostbite. Should he be denied compensability for that frostbite condition because everybody faced the same cold? That's not. There is that work connection, focuses on the work connection. And again, under our state's unitary test, that's the real focus. Cite to any statute nor to any case, but it ruled that Mr. Van Ness's work had to pose a risk greater than that faced by the general public. I can't say for sure where they got that test, but I would guess that they took it from the Floor case. And in the Floor case, there were three prongs to the test. The Supreme Court apparently took these three prongs from the statutes of other states. And the prong which the Labor Appeals Board adopted was a third prong, which provided that a disease is compensable when the disease is, quote, due to causes in excess of the ordinary hazards of employment in general. Now, the case cited by the Supreme Court for that test is the Hansen case. And if we take a look at the Hansen case, we find out it's a Connecticut Supreme Court case, and the Connecticut statute had that requirement that the disease be due to causes in excess of the ordinary employment. Now, in discussing what that phrase meant, the Connecticut court emphasized that this does not require that the disease be one that arises solely out of the employee's particular employment. The test does not require some sort of foreseeability that the disease might arise out of the job. It does not contemplate some forward look, but instead it contemplates that we look back and see if the disease arises because of job circumstances. The Hansen court looked at the development of how workers' compensation law developed to incorporate injuries because of disease. I believe the first approach was a definitional approach where there were specific diseases for specific jobs that proved over time to be unworkable because, of course, the law can never keep up pace with technology and the new jobs that come up. So there were also statutes which developed specific categories plus a catch-all category. And the court emphasized that, you know, with these various tests, the main focus is should be that there was some connection with the job. And in fact, the Hansen case is where I took the example of the seamstress and tuberculosis.
doesn't a nurse in a hospital have a greater risk of contracting TB than someone else?
Exactly, and in the Hansen case, I believe that is the reason why they found the TB to be compensable. Again, tracing back to some connection with the job.
As opposed to VOG, which is everywhere. I mean, that's the problem that I keep coming back to. It's everywhere. It's at every workplace. It's at every building. It's in every street. It's in every neighborhood. It's not unique to the workplace. It has nothing to do with the workplace.
I'm certainly not a medical expert, but I believe in the case of asthma, if there is some other cause of the asthmatic condition, then it would not be compensable. But if the aggravation of asthma is due to the law, as we have three doctors finding in this case, it should be compensable. It is true everybody has to agree, and VOG covered the entire island, but I don't think that should be the test. If that's the test, then that would preclude, for example, a civil defense worker walking along the crater on the Big Island. If he suffered some sort of pulmonary condition, he would not be covered under work comp because everybody has to breathe the same air.
Isn't that situation a little unique to the area where he's walking? I mean, it's not like every place else on the island, right?
Well, Mr. Van Ness did not have a choice of where to walk either. He had to walk up and down those stairs of Lion Luna, and that's where he was exposed, and that's why he suffered the exacerbation.
So it wasn't the place that where he was. It's what he was required to do, is your argument.
I believe that might be one consideration, but no, my argument is, what is the work connection? If there's a work connection, it should be compensable.
But this would be at every outside workplace on the island, right? As far as VOG, if you had asthma.
If one is focusing on the weather condition, I believe that's correct. I understand the court's concern that there's a danger in trying to define what diseases are compensable and what diseases should not be compensable. There's a danger in being too narrow as well as a danger in being too broad.
Isn't, we're sort of going back to earlier this morning, but isn't that why we have this board and to make those determinations, to give some deference as opposed to this court?
That's correct, but it is, this court should not give deference to the Labor Appeals Board when it applies the law and law. I do not believe the Labor Appeals Board in this case applied the unitary test. Submit that the schemes in those states are very different from Hawaii law. In the Palmer, Nevada case, that case discussed Nevada law, which is contrary to Hawaii law. Nevada law requires some sort of special relationship between the job itself and the employees. Nevada has a schedule of occupational diseases which are related to particular jobs, such as brass and zinc poisoning, or some sort of chrome ulceration of the skin. Another example would be problems arising from breathing coal dust in connection with coal mining work. there was a relationship between asthma and the work exposure, it would have been compensable under Hawaii law. Thank you. I reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Miyasaka.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Miyasaka, and I represent the State of Hawaii Department of Education on this case. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the court because, as Mr. Mukaida pointed out, there were two apparent typographical errors in our answering brief where we referenced the Department of Health rather than the Department of Education. However, we do represent the Department of Education in this particular case, and I believe there were just typographical errors, and I don't believe that.
It's okay. We have them ourselves sometimes.
Thank you, Ron. What I wanted to bring to attention to the court, I know the court has been discussing basically occupational diseases with Mr. Mukaida, but I think we need to step back and ask ourselves if this is even an occupational disease case or if this is an injury by accident arising out of in a course of employment case. Because according to the statute, both of those injuries are separate and have different criteria or requirements. In this case, the issue that the Labor Appeals Board addressed was whether or not appellant sustained a personal injury to its respiratory system on December 23rd, 2005, arising out of and in the course of his employment. That's the criteria for an accident by injury claim, not an occupational disease claim. An occupational disease claim would require that the injury was proximately caused by or resulting from the nature of employment. So our position is what the board, based on its statement of what the issue was actually looking at was an accident by injury case. And in the Floor decision, the Hawaii Supreme Court indicated that an accident by injury case requires a discrete event or trauma. And in this particular case, as we pointed out in our brief, appellant didn't contest two findings of fact which we believe are critical and potentially dispositive of the case. First of all, finding of fact 8 was a finding of fact where the board found that appellant was not at work on December 23rd, 2005, and also that appellant was not even on Maui on December 23rd, 2005. Finding of fact 10 specifically was a statement by the board that found that there was sufficient evidence to rebut the presumption that was in the record. So based on those two findings of fact that are not challenged by the claimant, based on the premise that the issue that the board was looking at was an injury by accident, since there's no evidence in the record that anything happened on December 23rd, 2005, we believe the court should find that claimant, the board properly denied this particular claim because the issue before the board was whether or not there was an injury by accident. In this case, the board made two findings of fact on that particular point. Neither were contested, and the applicable law was that there had to be a discrete event or an injury by accident, as defined by the Supreme Court in Floor. So therefore, the court should affirm this particular decision by the board. The court, well, two members of the court in the Moy decision, and I believe Judge Fujise and you, Chief Judge Foley, were both participating on that particular panel, applied reasons similar to what I'm arguing in finding that the court, based on the record, the finding, uncontested finding the fact and correct application of the law, could, without doing more, find that the appeals board decision should be affirmed. So that's, you know, the position that we'd like the court to consider. However, if the court is going to look at this case as being an injury by disease case, then we believe that the Floor case is a case where the Supreme Court established what the standard of an occupational disease is in the state of Hawaii, and the Supreme Court established three criteria.
Counsel, in light of your position on what the board below decided that that was an act, that this was an accident by injury case. Is it? Pardon me.
Excuse me. But I wasn't at the labor appeals board here. I didn't represent the state at that time. I came in on appeal.
Okay, and I won't ask a question about what happened there, but I'm wondering if it's your position that if we conclude that this, in fact, is a disease case, does it need to be remanded to the board to properly consider it as a disease case?
That's one alternative. I mean, the board does want to address what appears to be at least one of the criteria in Moy. So it's possible that the board has already provided the court with its reasoning on how, its reasoning on how the case should be applied. And in the Moy decision, the court, this particular intermediate court of appeal did go and on to discuss the other aspect of the case and not decide it, based on the finding of fact and application of the law. And they went through a discussion of the occupational disease case also. And in this case, I believe, as Mr. Mukaida pointed out, there is language in there that could be interpreted as the board discussing an occupational disease claim, although it's our position that they didn't have to do so because based on the wording of the issue they were deciding was an injury by accident claim.
Who controls the wording of the issue? Is that the who controls the wording of the issue? Is that the board itself, or is that the petitioner appellant
that
in this case?
It's contained in an order. It's called a pre-hearing order. It's issued by the board. That the board states that this is going to be an issue that will be decided. It was not the issue that was proposed by Mr. Mukaida. Mr. Mukaida had a more generic issue regarding whether the injury was compensable. But in the board's pre-trial order, it specifically stated that the injury was going to be whether the claimant sustained a personal injury to his respiratory system on December 23rd, 2005, arising out of the course of employment. So by my reading of that particular issue, that fits in with 363, the section dealing with injury by accident rather than an injury by disease, possibly caused or resulting from the nature of the problem. Did that address your question?
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to the criteria established by four, the labor appeal board only really discusses the third issue, which is the issue dealing with increased risk. However, the first issue that the Supreme Court stated in Floor that had to be addressed by a court looking at an occupational disease was when the disease is one caused by conditions that are characteristic of or peculiar to the particular trade, occupation, or employment. In this case, the disease is a respiratory condition and there's nothing indicating any relationship between a respiratory condition and the trade, employment, or occupation of a teacher or a technology consultant. So in that case, the first criteria wasn't even met. We agree that the second criteria, which is that the disease results from the employee's actual exposure to such working conditions, there is medical evidence indicating that the fog aggravated the pre-existing asthma that he had. So that criteria may be met. However, as the court has indicated, that fog was all over the whole island of Maui. And we go to the third question, which is the disease is due to causes in excess of the ordinary hazards of employment in general. And in this case, again, as indicated in the board's conclusion of law, there's nothing to indicate that the occupation of teacher or technology consultant, would cause or expose the claimant to, any conditions in excess of ordinary hazards of employment in general. And as the court indicated, if the substance is in the air is all around us, it wouldn't necessarily have to be limited to fog. It could be pollen. During mango season or mock orange season, there's pollen all over the islands. And in addition to that, it could be smog. It could be other pollutants that are in the air. It could could be dishonest, Mr. Mukaiya said, but these are all things that everybody in the state of Hawaii is exposed to. And I guess the appeals board felt that it was incumbent on them to draw a line at some point in time and indicate that the legislature could not possibly have intended that every single thing related in some way to employment should be covered under workers' compensation law. And in this case, the board has indicated that they were drawing the line, and that VAWG, where VAWG affects everybody on an island, should not be considered an occupational disease or should not be considered as something that entitles a person to workers' compensation.
Now, Mr. Mukaiya's arguing that his client wasn't like everybody else on the island because of the particular nature of the work, what duties he had to carry out, and that he had this precondition that was exacerbated. Does that make a difference?
Our position is, if you look at the medical evidence, the medical doctors themselves, his two treating physicians, all they indicated is that he shouldn't be on the island of Maui. Not that he shouldn't be working as a technology consultant, or that he shouldn't be working at Lahaina Luna School. They just indicated he shouldn't be on the island of Maui. They recommended that he move to Oahu.
Let me understand that. Is that more than one doctor who said that, or was it multiple?
There are two of his doctors. I believe a Dr. Tom recommended that appellant move from Maui to Oahu. That's in the record on, ICA 12, page 43. And Dr. Matheson opined that he, meaning the claimant, has had significant asthma exacerbations with exposure to volcanic smoke, high in sulfur dioxide, and ash, including that carried by meteorologic conditions holding the pollutants in moist air over Maui. That is on...
But that's a diagnosis as opposed to a recommendation, right? That latter one.
Part of reports...
Dr. Tom recommends moving to Oahu. The other doctor simply diagnoses?
Yes, I believe that's correct. But I think both indicated that the problem was Maui, not necessarily Lahaina Luna School. Unless the court has specific questions about our position, I don't have anything further to add at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Mukaiya.
I tried to address in my reply brief whether or not we're dealing here with an accident case, a traumatic injury case versus a disease case. I think it's very clear that we're dealing with a disease case. I don't believe that under work comp law, we place any real great importance on determining an exact date in all cases. I'd submit that it is more a matter to allow the Department of Labor identifying the many different cases that it's handling, and especially with respect to disease cases, which result as the amount of exposure over time. The court has already addressed that, and we can take any one of a number of various dates for the date of occurrence.
And the board didn't address this as a disease case?
I believe it did.
It did.
If it did mention, I believe in passing, that claimant was not on Maui at work on particular date of injury, that's referenced in the caption, but I don't believe that should be determinative. As pointed out, I believe, by Floor, we can use the date of diagnosis or the date of the first day of disability to be the date of injury. In this case, we use the date that he saw the doctor. Mr. Miyasaka referred development of, you know, a long exposure be one of the criteria for following for finding a disease injury. That long exposure actually is not a good definition for disease, because diseases can arise out of a single exposure, as in the case of serum hepatitis. The North Carolina statute required that the disease be caused by conditions characteristic or peculiar to the particular occupation. However, in going through the development of trying to define which diseases should be covered, the North Carolina court concluded that the real test, again, is whether the disease is connected to the job. The court suggested that you could look to the extent of the exposure on the job, that you could look at the extent of exposure outside the job, and also whether or not there was some pre-existing condition.
Counselor, is it significant that Dr. Tom recommended that your client move to Oahu versus moving to some other school in Maui?
I don't believe so. It's not clear in the record whether Dr. Tom was aware of how Mr. Van Ness led his life and how he was not exposed to outside air away from work. He traveled to and from work in an air-conditioned car with a HEPA filter, and he had multiple HEPA filters at home. He was not much for going outside his home, so yes, as the Labor Appeals pointed out, Mr. Van Ness's life was fairly unique, and it's not apparent from the record whether or not the doctors were aware of that. State's approach, I think, would result in a number of work comp cases not being covered, which have been covered under prior law. For example, in the Akmini case, we had a heart attack occurring outside of work to be compensable. In the Royal State case, we had depression also compensable. There was no requirement that depression be unique to the particular job. And again, in the Lloyd case, we have the flight attendant's influenza being compensable. And again, there's no direct unique relationship with the flight attendant's job. Furthermore, flu, heart attacks, and depression are all problems, diseases which can occur in the community in general, but this does not preclude these conditions from being compensable under our statutory scheme, as long as there is some work connection. And so again, in applying the unitary test that we use in Hawaii, we look for some work connection. You take the disease and you look back to the particular work situation to see if there is any sort of work connection. And if there is a work connection, then it should be compensable. So it was Mr. Van Ness's aggravation of his asthma, what was it caused by? Well, he had to huff and puff foggy air, climb up and down stairs while carrying computers and equipment. And was there a work connection? Absolutely. I submit that his case should have been found compensable.
If Mr. Van Ness had an allergy, a severe allergy or reaction to sunlight, would that be compensable?
I believe so. In fact, that was an example posed by Mr. Miyasaka and suggested that if a lifeguard, for example, had a problem, should diseases caused by the sun be compensable? I would submit yes, if it's shown that his exposure at work led to the disease. If there is some work connection, yes, it should be compensable.
vote. We'll take this case under advisement. Thank you, counsel.